thanks for being in the service this morning, and thanks for encouraging and celebrating with our baptismal candidates here today. And so I really appreciate you doing that. And we also want to welcome those who will be listening online a little bit later today. We're finishing up a series today called 2019, A Year of Faith. And in the series, it's been my goal not just simply talk about the typical things that are related to faith, but to remind us as a church that we can have all the external things going on. We can have great music. We can have all the things. We can even have miracles happening and people being healed. But even greater than all of that, behind it all has to be our character. Has to be, what kind of person am I? And am I living a life that is pleasing to Christ? And because I find that in church today, we can go through, and I think even some of our candidates alluded to it, we can go through all the facades and all the routines of looking religious and looking like Christians, but at the depth of it, our character is left wanting. We're really not authentic in who God has called us to be. And here at Spotlight Church, again, as we move forward, as we grow as a church, even as we consider buying a property or leasing a property, we can do all of that. But you know what? We can build those walls, but really at the end of the day, we need God to change our hearts. We need God to transform us and show the city of Stratford authentically what it means to live for Jesus. I said to a gentleman the other day, I said, he was talking to me about the city, and I said to him, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in the city, and he is a churchgoer as well, I said, we have a lot of church people that just do a lot of hopping and shopping. They'll come here, go there, and they're all over, but they never settle down and really give them themselves completely to build the kingdom. And I said, that's got to be changed if we're really going to reach the city for Jesus Christ. And I believe that with all my heart, that we need to really settle in and get about the mission that God's called us to do. But to do that, we have to be that person of character. And to be that person of character will also open the doors to what it means to be a faith-walking person. And so today, I just want to sort of settle that in, because that's the heart of the message. I'm going to be a little shorter today. I always say that, and I never end up doing it, right? You know, but I am going to be a little bit shorter today. I'm going to go quicker. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 is the verse that I want to draw your attention to today, and then I'll be sharing a few other verses as well. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May God who gives us peace make you holy in every way and keep your whole being, your spirit, your soul, and your body free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice in that text, it says that your spirit, your soul, and your body, and it puts them in that order, and I believe it's very important that we notice the order, because I think real change and a real makeover, and that's the title of the message today, is called God's Secret to a Total Makeover. The real makeover really begins at the deepest level of our person. And if we want to be changed, if we want to be more than just outwardly going through the motions, but we want to be truly transformed, then it begins at the deepest level of our person and begins to bubble and work its way out to the outermost parts of our lives and our actions that we take every day through our body. So in this passage, God is talking about doing a total new work in your life and in my life. And that total makeover begins on the inside. And again, I want to point out that it's not just something that makes you look different, but it's God wants you to be someone who speaks and thinks and acts differently. A new you is all about making a 180-degree turn. And it's amazing to me the number of people who learn about Jesus, but they keep going and doing the same thing they've always done, but now they've just added Jesus, kind of like those Lipton side noodles that you buy. And some people treat Jesus like that, like a side dish and some Lipton side noodles, but I'm still going to be the same person doing the same things. When God gets a hold of your life, he talks about making a 180-degree turn, leaving the old things behind and really becoming that new person in Christ that he wants you to be. And I cannot stress enough that that's ultimately what God wants to do. He wants to make that change beginning in the deepest part of your life, and so that it flows out in from every part of you as well. It changes the way you speak, the way you think, the way you act. It's a total change in your living, and you're walking in a whole new way of life. So here at Spotlight, we highly value baptism. And baptism is one of those symbols. Matter of fact, someone will ask me time again, why should I be baptized? What's going to be happening different? And I think Katie may even refer to it. You know, I believe with all my heart that when a person is baptized, it opens a brand new door of faith in your life. It does. Matter of fact, why would Jesus be so insistent that we be baptized? And so baptism is another way of really demonstrating the changes that God's been doing in our life. And I love the testimonies this morning that alluded to that. And so the Bible says that we're buried with Christ in baptism and we're raised to a whole new life. And so we need to walk in that new life. We need to be that person that God's called us to be. We need to be transformed to be like Jesus. Now, I'm not asking you to be like me, and you're thinking, oh boy, am I ever thankful for that. But I'm asking you to be transformed and to be like Jesus. And matter of fact, I think if not next week, but the week after, we're starting a whole new series of messages called Like Jesus. And we're going to be walking through Jesus' model. We're going to be walking through his methods of interacting with people. And we're going to be walking through the heart of his messages that he delivered while he was here on earth. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, I want you and I want me to live a life that makes us more like Jesus and to follow his example. But how does that happen? And I want to talk about a couple of things real quickly. There are two words that I'm going to use this morning. And these two words are probably words that if you've been around church at all, you've heard quite a bit. But if you're like me, these are words that sometimes make you feel really uncomfortable. And it may be uncomfortable for us to even think about. These two words may make us feel defensive. They may make us feel uneasy. Sometimes they make us feel even guilty. But we need to talk about them anyway, because if we're going to change our lives, we really got to deal with these two things within our lives. And so we've got to look at them. So here are the two words that I'm referring to, the word confession and the word repentance. And the reason both of these words make us feel uneasy is because sometimes when we hear these words, we immediately go negative. We think, oh, bad. That's, boy, confession, that's a bad thing. You must have done something really wrong. You know, you're repenting. You've done something really wrong. And so they make us feel uneasy because we think immediately of the negative things. We immediately think of the guy probably who has a sandwich board on and is pointing his finger and telling people, you know, you need to repent, you know, you need to confess your sins. And we think of that kind of character who's trying to, in a brazen way, sort of, you know, force it down people's throat. But the word confession, repentance, does not have to mean something negative. It doesn't have to conjure those kinds of images up in your mind. And so when we begin to think about these words, confession, repentance, we just sometimes think negative. But if we get into the words and what they actually mean, we find that they're actually very positive. They're very freeing. They're very hopeful words. And so I'm going to touch on these very briefly. First of all, the word confess. The word confess means to say the same thing God says. There's nothing negative about that. Confess means to say the same thing that God says. That's really what it means. Confess doesn't mean that you've got to have your arm twisted behind your back and say, okay, come on, fess up. Oh, no. God really wants you to confess the same things that he's already saying. He doesn't want to force you. He doesn't want to force me to follow him. As a matter of fact, I want to say very boldly this morning, if you don't want to follow Jesus, you want to live your life the way you want to live it, you want to be the captain of your own ship, he's not going to twist your arm and try and force you to change any other way. But also remember that you also need to be responsible for the consequences of living that life. There are consequences to everything we do. There is a heaven to gain, and the Bible talks about a place called hell that is also reserved for those who have rejected Christ and rejected his word. And God will never force anybody to go either one place or another. And so the word confess is really mean coming to the point where you are really saying the same thing that God says, and you want that to be so within your life. And so it's not having your arm twisted. That's not what confession is. Confess means to say the same thing that God wants you to say, not arguing with him. How many times do we like to argue with God? Sometimes we think we know better. But agreeing with him. Confession can be positive and it can be negative, but God really wants it to be something positive in our life. So this morning I want to encourage you in this year of faith to think about being a person who's willing to confess. I want you not to say the things that Mark says. I want you to say the things that God says. I want you to know his word, and I want you to know his truth, and let that begin to echo through your life, starting in your deepest level of your life and just going to all parts of your life. Learn to confess and to agree with God in what he says. The second word is the word repent. And repent means to change the way you think. Change the way you think. And when it comes to repent, repent actually does not mean to change what you do. A lot of people think repentance, oh, I'm changing what I'm going to do. That may be a part of it, but it actually means to change how you think. And some of us, as we have began to think about living our life for Jesus, we still hung on to what I call our stinking thinking. We still hang on to those ideas and lies and untruths that really are not meant to be a part of our Christian life, but we hang on to it. And again, like the Lipton side noodles, we try to add it to our life and try to live for Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Repent means to change the way you think, not only change what you do. It means to change how you think. So to repent is not just changing your behavior. I want you to hear me when I say this. Repenting is not just changing your behavior because repenting, and I don't know if you've been like me, there are times when I repented of something and I said, oh God, I'm so sorry, I'm never going to do that again. Then there are times in my life where I turned around a week later, a day later, or maybe minutes later, you do the same thing. Oh, God, I repent. I'm just so sorry for what I've done. And see, repenting doesn't necessarily change my behavior. What really is going to change my behavior is when I begin to think different. And so even David in Psalm 51 in verse 4, that famous prayer of confession, he said, against you and you only have I sinned and have done what is evil in your sight. So you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. So confessing is something you need to do. Repenting is something you need to do. And repenting is a part of changing your life. You definitely need to repent. The Bible says very clearly we need to do that. But just simply repenting doesn't really ultimately change your behavior and the way that you do things. And so if we're going to really change in our lives today as believers, we've got to change the way that we think. And that's what true repentance is all about. And so, yes, confess your sins. Yes, repent. But if you really want to change from the inside out, if you really want to change from the deepest level of your life, you've got to begin to think about how am I going to really repent in a way that changes the way I think, which ultimately will change the way I live my life. Have I totally lost you? All right, so people next to you asleep, just elbow the person next to you and say, hey, he's talking about you. Wake up, all right? And again, I can't stress enough because I've had lots of frustration in my own life in my early days of my Christianity and where I did things and I repented, but it didn't change me from doing the same things again. And you do it again and again. You say you're sorry and you're sorry, but you end up doing the same thing over again. And maybe I should stop here and say, am I the only person that's ever done that? Am I the only person that's like that? And so the end result is sometimes in our Christianity, we wind up in this circle of guilt and we get to the point where we think, well, why even bother to try? I'm just going to do the same thing again. So you give up on Christianity. You give up on Jesus. You think it doesn't really have the power to change you, but it does. But maybe no one's ever taught you or never taught you about what really the next step you needed to take. Yes, you confess your sins. Yes, you repent. Scripture, 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, on and on. There's those things you need to do, but there is another step you need to take. And that's what I want to talk about just very briefly. And there's another kind of confession that leads to a change in our behavior. Let me say it again. There is another kind of confession that leads to a change in our behavior. I'm going to ask if my helpers would come. They're not elves, so don't worry. But Erica and Marlene, they're going to hand out this paper to you. And on the paper, it tells you about what we call my faith confessions. If you're going to change your behavior, it's not just simply repenting and saying, you know, Lord, forgive me, but it's beginning by faith to claim some truth that God has spelled out in his word for you. And so you need to go on the offensive and say, you know what, Lord, you've forgiven me, and now I'm going to claim these faith confessions based on God's word about what I need to do. And so once you ask God to forgive your sin, you need to begin to practice, and this is just a sample, faith confessions in your life. In other words, you begin to believe what God says about you and not of what Satan says about you. And some of us, we ask God to forgive us of our sin, we turn around and do the same thing all over again, and we think, boy, why bother? I want to remind you that the greatest tool that you have and that I have is the Word of God, the Bible, the truth. It's the plumb line for our lives. How many of you are builders? I'm putting my hand down because I'm not a builder. Matter of fact, but you know, oftentimes builders, when they go to build something, they start out with the plumb line. And the plumb line is something on the end of a string hanging down, usually has a pointy piece on the end of it, and you let it hang, and you find what is truly perpendicular, and you use it as a plumb line, and plumb line is about how you get your wall straight, your foundation straight, blah, 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 and you don't want me building anything for you, all right? So, and I already told Mike, who's going to be our project manager when we change into properties, I said, don't be asking me to do anything like that. But a plumb line is so important that you have, because from that plumb line, from that very important perpendicular plumb line, you begin to build everything. If you don't get it right, the windows are crooked, the foundation's crooked, everything's crooked in your life. And for some of us, our idea of serving Jesus Christ has become crooked and has been broken down and become frustrating for us because we're not working from a true plumb line. And the true plumb line is the Word of God and what it says about you and about me. That's why I handed out this sheet. I want you to know that when you begin to repent and when you begin to ask God to forgive you, he does forgive you. He forgives you completely. But then you need to go on the offensive and say, you know what? I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I to live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. And you begin to go on the offensive and you begin to claim what the truth says about your life. Many of us, we spend all our time thinking, oh, I'm not going to do that sin again. Oh, I'm not going to do that sin again. No, I'm not going to. So we're so focused on the sin and things that dominate our life, we're not focusing on the true things that will radically change us from the inside out. So when I'm working with people, I remind them, yes, real change, if it's going to come into your life, if you're going to get excited about Christianity, you've got to realize it's more about than just simply saying, Lord, forgive me, you know, and repenting. But it's learning to practice God's word in your life. It's learning to go on the offensive and begin to confess these things and many more about who God says you are. And so this morning, if you're going to have real change in your life, there is a type of confessing that you need to take another step in. Not only confessing your sin, but now confessing who you are in Jesus Christ. Who are you in Christ? You need to go and begin to claim these things that are for you. Like any builder who's building and using the plumb line, they've got to have this as your plumb line, or you will not build a house that will last. And so this morning, I want to encourage you as believers, begin to let God do an extreme makeover in your life. Let his word begin to become the plumb line from which you build everything else. It doesn't matter what Oprah says. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. Not even what Mark says. But the plumb line for your life and my life is Jesus Christ and the word of God. And so this morning, that's where we can begin to discover real change. Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us in verse 23, I believe it is, be made new in the attitude of your minds. The word made new there is a Greek word. It actually better translate means to renovate. Renovate. And I don't know about you, any renovations I ever did, I had a project that I did for my head office here recently. It was supposed to cost me $250,000 to renovate, and it cost me $350,000 to renovate. Because you get into these old buildings, you find asbestos, you find lead, blah, 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 and you got to do all these things. And next thing you know, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And that's the way renovations go, right? That's the way my renovations go. They usually cost me more money and more time and to get things done. And that word there about being made new in Ephesians 4, it says you need to renovate. And I can't help but think that maybe today, right here within the city of Stratford, some of us who are professing believers need to demolish a few things that in our lives so that we can put in the right things and become the person that God wants us to be. Hallelujah. We need to do some renovations. We need to, and any renovation always involves some demo work, right? And I wonder how many times people within churches have begun to believe things and begin to believe lies, begin to believe old stuff, and how we need to tear that out and get rid of it and become that person God wants us to be. I get excited about this because I know what can happen. If you give me 1, 2, 3, 10 people who are really fully sold out to Jesus Christ, we can change our community. We can change and make a difference. But more important than that, what is it that needs to change in your life? How do we make maybe some crooked thinking to become straight? How do we make you become that person that's excited about your faith and that Christianity is no longer just dull and full of duty and drudgery, but it's something you delight in? You wake up in the morning and say, God, thank you for another great day in which I can serve you. But for many of us, for that to happen, we need to renovate. We need to be made new in the attitude of our minds. Today, I just want to encourage you. We're about to head down to the pool. We're going to celebrate in baptism where it's kind of like you're being buried in Christ and it symbolizes going under the water and coming up or the water being poured over you, being buried in Christ and coming up into a new life. That is what I desire for all of us. God has called us to have an extreme home makeover, and that home makeover needs to happen right within our own hearts. How many of us today have become caught up in a kind of religion that is not what God intended it to be? Or maybe we believe things that are not true because we haven't gone back to the plumb line. We haven't gone back to the Word of God. We haven't gone back to the example of Jesus. And Christianity has become, and I've heard people say this, well, Christianity is just one of many religions. And even when someone says that to me, it tells me they just haven't even studied the differences between the major religions of the world. Or they wouldn't say that. Christianity is so unique in what it claims and what it does that it's unlike anything else. But the question is why aren't we experiencing that uniqueness and transformed and changed lives? I just ask the Lord to change us. Starting here, spreading out across our city and community. So this morning, let's stand together. As we close out this series of messages, the kind of faith that I want you to have is authentic, life-changing faith that doesn't make your life more complicated, even though there will definitely always be challenges. But a faith that is real, a faith that is authentic, a faith that, you know, if you're trying to break an addiction, you can break that addiction. If you're trying to be set free from bondage, you can be set free from bondage. If you need a miracle to happen, we serve a God who still does miracles. But we will never know that until we learned to really have the kind of faith that not only says, please forgive me, but now I know who I am. And I'm going on the offensive. It's no longer me that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. And begin to use those statements of confession and claim them in a powerful way. Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you for being with us. Thank you, God, for reminding us of how you desire us to be a faith-walking people. And not in a shallow way, but with some depth, with some authenticity to it. And that, Lord, you would help us to be the kind of people that people would once again will say, wow, there's something different about you. And that difference is because of your glory, God, that's shining through our lives. Lord, we don't need to be doing all kinds of different things to prove to the world how much we love you. The greatest thing we need to do today is just to allow you to truly be the plumb line in our life and to live every day the best that we can according to your word, according to your plumb line. So Lord, today, take your word, apply it to our lives. Maybe somebody here, even today, needs to do some renovations. And to do that renovation, they need to demolish a few things. God, let that begin today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.